What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to Locked On Eagles. Close that door behind you. Let's get locked in on the birds once again. We are back after a one-day hiatus on the podcast. Thanks for joining us, as always. Louis DiBiase joining you on the show today. No Gino Camilleri. He is out doing adult things in the world on this Tuesday afternoon as we get into the week of Eagles-Bears wild card round. The game has officially been announced for Sunday at 4 o'clock. It's the final wild card game of the weekend. We have, I believe it's Texans-Colts is the early Saturday game, which makes perfect sense considering I feel like that's the least appealing one, although there really isn't a bad playoff game this year. But the AFC South, that's not going to be the hot ticket in this first round of the playoffs, so that's the early Saturday game. Then we have Cowboys-Seahawks Saturday night, and then it's Lamar Jackson and the Ravens against the LA Chargers, although they're basically the nomadic Chargers, which we should call them because they don't really have a fan base. We got Chargers-Ravens as the early Sunday game, and then it's Eagles-Bears at 4 o'clock. It's been 2 days now, so not really that long removed, but I'm still in utter disbelief that the Eagles are in the playoffs. It's just an unbelievable feat. It's a perfect gift to end the 2018 year. 2018 was the greatest in Eagles history. You have a Super Bowl. You have this unbelievable roller coaster of a season, and it finishes off in such an amazing way, and it's not over yet as the Eagles have a chance to go on a run here in the postseason. It starts in Chicago this Sunday. I hope everybody enjoyed their New Year's Eve. I know I did. Was out of town, so could not get on the microphone yesterday. But this week, we're going to start. We're going to get into everything. I know you're probably itching to talk about the playoff game. We're going to start Bears Week tomorrow. We're going to get into crossover Thursday with Locked On Bears on Thursday. Tomorrow, we'll take a first look at the matchup, some key matchups to watch on both offense and defense. We'll get into Nick Foles, his health. We'll get into everything about the matchup because it's one the Eagles can easily win. It's an inexperienced Bears team when it comes to playoff games. I think only Khalil Mack is a main contributor of that team that has played in a playoff game, and he's only played in one. He played with the Raiders 2 years ago against the Texans in the wild card round. Outside of that, they have a second-year quarterback. I mean, this is a Allen Robinson never made the playoffs with Jacksonville. He was hurt last year when they made that run, so this is a team that the Eagles can take advantage of. We'll see if it happens. It's going to be a great matchup between two similar teams, both extremely talented, very similar on defense and offense. They're kind of built the same way. Both have head coaches from the Andy Reid coaching tree, but Bears Week will start tomorrow. What I want to get into today, it's a special edition of Locked On Eagles. It's the regular season award show. So we're going to go through it for three segments, handing out end of the year awards, comeback player of the year, most valuable player, defensive player of the year, offensive player of the year, rookie of the year, most improved player. So we got a lot of that today. I feel like it's an exciting episode that you're going to like. And if you don't agree with who I pick for the awards, this is a one-man committee, unlike the college football committee, which is made up of a bunch of athletic directors that may be financially invested in who gets in the playoff. I will save my college football gripes for later, but this is a one-man committee that decides the awards for Locked On Eagles. And if you have a problem with who I chose, you can drop me a line on Twitter at DiBiaseLOE or tweet at the show at Locked On Birds, or go mess with Gino as well. See what he thinks at Gino_LOE. I'm going to post all the awards, the final decisions on LockedOnEagles.com after the show. So you can always check stuff out at the.com where we have awesome written content and we post all our podcasts on the daily up at LockedOnEagles.com. So I want to start with most valuable player. That's what we're going to get into first here, is the Eagles MVP.
Most valuable player is
Malcolm Jenkins. Malcolm Jenkins is the most valuable player of this Eagles season, and I don't feel like it's a controversial one. Maybe there are some better options for people out there. I was deciding really between Fletcher Cox, Malcolm Jenkins. Honestly, Michael Bennett was a name that came in. The offensive line in general, I can't really pick the unit because it's one player. I know a lot of people, I'm sure, are going to say it's Nick Foles. But look, Malcolm Jenkins, it's time he deserves some credit. And he is the glue of this Eagles team. He is, to me, the main reason this team did not fall apart. He played every snap on defense this year. And when you think about it, that is unbelievable. Especially considering you look at the Eagles defense and how many players were in and out of the lineup, right? I mean, outside of Fletcher Cox, On the defensive line, Derek Barnett got put on IR. Brandon Graham was dealing with some injuries early on in the season. You had Timmy Jernigan, who finally came back against the Giants later in the season. He was in and out of the lineup. Remember, he missed months with that herniated disc in his back. You look at Haloti Ngata was hurt. Everyone was banged up. Linebackers Jordan Hicks and Nigel Bradham injured. And the secondary especially, which is why Malcolm Jenkins' story for 2018, his performance was just so damn impressive, was that around him, the secondary just exploding with injuries. It was just collapsing at the seams. And Malcolm Jenkins is just that one consistent presence there. He was really a coach on the field, helping out guys like Chandon Sullivan, who started a game against the Giants, Devontae Bosby, Cravion LeBlanc, who we picked up off the streets, and was actually a pretty good slot corner for us down the stretch. Rodney McLeod, his partner in the safety position, that those two won a Super Bowl together last year and was one of the best safety tandems in the league. He goes down against the Colts week three. He's got to go in with Corey Graham and help out a young player in Trey Sullivan, who's basically had no playing experience on defense outside of this year. Remember, he was cut and he was on the Eagles practice squad last year. So Malcolm Jenkins is just, he's got to hold it all together with just a defense in utter shambles when it comes to health. He played every snap. He was a coach on the field. He played safety. He played linebacker, corner. I mean, his stat line, he finished with 97 tackles, 6 tackles for a loss, a sack, an interception, and a big interception. Remember, it was against the Giants when they were down 19-3. Remember this game when the Eagles got to 5-6 right after the Saints game. If they lose that football game, Eli Manning and the Giants were driving at the end of the half, trying to go up by more. It was 19-3. Malcolm Jenkins gets an interception that turns the entire momentum of that game over to the Eagles, and they're able to make a 16-point comeback and save the season. And it started with Jenkins' interception in the red zone, and that saved it, because if the Eagles lose that football game, if Malcolm Jenkins, say he doesn't get that interception, and say the Giants score a touchdown, the Eagles might fall apart in the second half of that game. And the Eagles are not in the playoffs right now. If they lose that game, they're 4-7, and it's over. And because of Malcolm Jenkins, that wasn't the case. He had a forced fumble, a fumble recovery, and Pro Football Focus ranked him as an 83.3 coverage grade, which is really damn good. So Malcolm Jenkins is my most valuable player of the year for 2018. I don't think you guys are going to disagree totally. Maybe you think Fletcher Cox is a better option, maybe because Nick Foles came in and helped win 3 straight to get the Eagles in the playoffs. Maybe it's Nick Foles, but I think overall with the total body of work he had this season and what he meant for this team this year, not only just his performance as a player, but as a leader, just playing all over the field, Malcolm Jenkins is my most valuable player of the year for the Eagles. My next award for the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles end of the season awards, I should say regular season awards, because they're still in the playoffs and they still have a chance to keep this thing going. Next up,
offensive player of the year.
My offensive player of the year goes to Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz wins Offensive Player of the Year, broke all-time records for receptions in a season by a tight end. He broke Eagles records. I think when his career is over, he might lead the Eagles as he might be the all-time Eagles receptions leader. I mean, he had over 1,000 yards this year, 8 touchdowns. He picks defenses apart every single week. He is honestly on a Hall of Fame pace. When his career is over, and you look at his body of work, I think guys you're going to say are better than him all time. Tony Gonzalez, and then maybe, I don't know what, Rob Gronkowski is a more talented player overall. But, I mean, Antonio Gates is someone that's up there that you think of. Kellen Winslow, Jason Witten. But Zach Ertz just beat Jason Witten's record for most receptions in a season. He is very similar to Jason Witten, but I think he's going to be, when it's all said and done, top 3 in most accomplished tight ends in football. He already has a ring. Right, he scored the game-winning touchdown in the Super Bowl last year. He helped move the chains this year when the offenses struggled, and Carson Wentz was injured. Ertz was his go-to guy, and while I don't think that was always a good thing, Ertz was that glue to help keep the offense at least moving to get them in positions to win football games. And Zach Ertz, look, every single year, we kept saying, when is that Zach Ertz breakout year? And it was seemingly it was pretty much every year. He got better every single year. He was always an underrated player for this Eagles team since he got drafted. But this year, he blew up. After winning the Super Bowl, he took over. And the performance he had this year, it was historic. And we're going to look back at it and be like, how the hell did he go off in 2018 like that, because it was something nobody saw coming. We all knew he was a reliable target for Carson Wentz, one of the best tight ends in football, really top three with Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. But to have the year he's had is just truly incredible for a tight end. Next up on the regular season awards here on the Locked On Eagles podcast is...
Defensive Player of the Year.
Defensive Player of the Year goes to Fletcher Cox. So Malcolm Jenkins is my MVP. I wanted to do someone different on defense, and I feel like Cox was 1A, 1B with Jenkins when it comes to importance of this Eagles defense. He finishes, finally gets over double-digit sacks with 10.5. It's a career high, which is awesome. He was super excited about that when they told him that he surpassed 10 sacks. He had three against Washington. Fletcher Cox, just, again, the glue of the defense with Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, you look at the performance he had against the Cowboys. I know they lost that game, but to get Dak Prescott down out of field goal range to force overtime, Fletcher Cox would not be denied. It doesn't matter if it was a double team, a triple team, a quadruple team. Fletcher Cox was getting to the quarterback this year, and you look at the Rams' performance too. I mean, getting after Jared Goff, who is terrible under pressure. That was one of the main reasons the Eagles won that football game. And he did it all this year with basically no help on the interior of defensive tackle. He did not have Timmy Jernigan healthy this year until the last couple weeks of the season. Haloti Ngata's coming in and out of the lineup. We had guys like Bruce Hector and Destiny Vio early on in the season. It was guys rotating through, players on the practice squad, and Fletcher Cox still produced career-high numbers. It's unbelievable. He, like Zach Ertz, I mentioned how Zach Ertz is on a Hall of Fame pace and is going to be one of the best at his position all time when it's all said and done. Fletcher Cox is going to be one of the best defensive tackles in the history of the NFL when his career is over. I don't know if he's going to be a Hall of Famer. When you talk about potential Hall of Famers with the Eagles, I think of Jason Peters, I think of Darren Sproles, I think of Zach Ertz. And Fletcher Cox, too. Fletcher Cox is one of the best defensive players in Eagles history, and he deserves Defensive Player of the Year for 2018. So that's three awards. MVP goes to Malcolm Jenkins. Offensive Player of the Year goes to Zach Ertz. And Defensive Player of the Year goes to Fletcher Cox. When we come back here on the Locked On Eagles podcast, we got Rookie of the Year and Comeback Player of the Year. Also, Acquisition of the Year from Howie Roseman. What move that Howie Roseman made this year gave the Eagles the best chance of winning football games? What was the one that worked out the most? Hint, it's not the Golden Tate trade for a third-round pick. This is the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, everybody, welcome back to Locked On Eagles, this Tuesday edition of the show. Louis DiBiase joining you, your host of the 2018 Philadelphia Eagles regular season awards. First segment, Malcolm Jenkins wins MVP, Zach Ertz wins Offensive Player of the Year, and Fletcher Cox wins Defensive Player of the Year. Our next award,
Rookie of the Year, is
Avante Maddox, cornerback out of Pittsburgh University, fourth-round pick in 2018. The Swiss Army knife, basically Malcolm Jenkins 2.0 is what Avante Maddox was for the Eagles this year. He played all over the field. When Rodney McLeod went down, he was the choice at safety. A lot of people expected maybe Rasul Douglas would get moved back there. Avante Maddox was the guy. Then in the slot, Sidney Jones gets hurt on Thursday Night Football against the Giants. Maddox moves inside. And then when Avante Maddox comes back from his injury, which was at the same time as basically every single starting corner, remember, we had Shandon Sullivan, Devontae Bowsby, and Cravion LeBlanc as the three starting corners against the Giants at that 4-6 point where they won that game to get to 5-6. Avante Maddox comes back. He starts on the outside against the Rams, Texans, and Redskins, and he was locked down. I can't think of a play where he got burned in those three games. And those were against some really good targets. When you think of the Rams with Robert Woods and Brandon Cooks, he had an interception in that game, some big-time tackles. And then the next week, he put DeAndre Hopkins on an absolute island. I mean, Maddox, I don't know where he's going to start next year. When we're talking about on the defensive side, is he going to play on the outside? Is he going to play in the slot? Is he going to be a safety if they get rid of Rodney McLeod? I don't know what it's going to be for Maddox, but the guy was an absolute steal by Howie Roseman. Shout out to Howie Roseman and Joe Douglas and the scouting team getting him in the fourth round. I'll eat crow on this one. I'm a big fan of Rasul Douglas. I'm a big fan of Sidney Jones. Jalen Mills is someone that was coming off a big-time playoff performance. You still had Ronald Darby. You had Daryl Worley at the time, remember, that they traded Torrey Smith for with the Carolina Panthers. And I'm thinking, I don't see where Avante Maddox fits. I know it's depth, but for a fourth-round player, I just don't see where he's going to contribute on this team. And he came in and he balled out when there were injuries all over the unit, and he earned himself a starting role next year. And honestly, it might be on the outside. You know, there's just, we can play secondary musical chairs with who's outside, who's inside, and who's maybe at safety. But Avante Maddox is guaranteed to at least be your starting slot corner next year. And who knows, if McLeod's back, he might be just in the slot, he might be on the outside. But if McLeod's not back, maybe Maddox is the option at starting safety. But he was great everywhere this year. It wasn't only that he played everywhere, but he was really good on the outside. He was honestly the best on the outside. Then I would say at safety and then in the slot. He was really good in the slot, though, as well. I think he fits there really well as a hard-nosed, bulldog-type corner that's a really good tackler, really good in tight spaces with his quickness and flipping his hips, footwork. Avante Maddox was a steal in the fourth round. He is the rookie of the year for the Eagles in 2018. And the only other guy that was really up for discussion was Dallas Goedert. All right, next up on the 2018 regular season awards, courtesy of the Locked On Eagles podcast, is
Comeback Player of the Year.
Comeback Player of the Year, Carson Wentz. Carson Wentz comes back off a torn ACL. And look, I know the vibe right now, the thought process with Wentz, it's all about Foles versus Wentz right now. And I think there's a bit of a stale taste in people's mouth because they were struggling with Carson Wentz at quarterback, right? They're 6-7. They lost that final game with Wentz under center to Dallas. Foles comes in, wins three straight. He's in the playoffs, and Wentz had another injury, and we don't get to see him for the rest of the year. Unless something crazy happens. They're not going to play him for the rest of the season. But Carson Wentz on a fractured back and coming off 1 year removed, a torn ACL, he finishes with a 70% completion percentage, a 102 passer rating, 21 touchdowns and 7 picks. That's on a leg that's still not fully healed and a fractured back. He got better in the fourth quarter this year, with big comebacks, with some incredible performances late in games against Jacksonville, against Dallas twice, against the Giants. He got better with accuracy because of his mobility, because it was so restricted, because of the back injury. I feel like in the pocket he was forced to be more accurate in tight window throws, and I thought he got better at that, which was honestly the one criticism of Wentz you could say after a MVP candidate season in 2017, where he broke the Eagles' single-season touchdowns record at 33, the one thing you could say about it was accuracy, and he got better at that too. I think Carson Wentz deserves a lot more credit for this season than he is getting right now. And look, yes, he struggled. The offense struggled. The offensive line did not give him a lot of time this year. It might be why he hurt his back. I thought the play calling wasn't as good. I did think Wentz relied on Zach Ertz too much this year. I thought because Ertz was so reliable, he became the first guy Wentz looked to, and there were plays down the field to be had that he just did not see because he gave Zach Ertz the 10-yard pass instead of the potential 30-yard pass to Nelson Aguilar or Alshon Jeffrey. But regardless, you see the offensive line and Doug Peterson's play calling getting put all together at the perfect timing right now. That all started with Wentz under center. The drive against the Giants, and I keep harping back to this game because I feel like it's the one that turned the tide of the season. That drive against the Giants in the fourth quarter to get the Eagles in field goal range where Jake Elliott hit the game winner. That should not be forgotten with how sharp Wentz was on that final drive. The fourth and one conversion to Nelson Aguilar, seeing the mesh concept, knowing Aguilar was going to be sitting there in the middle of the field, hoping Golden Tate spread out the defense. Aguilar sits there wide open and Carson Wentz sees him. And that was a great fourth quarter drive that Wentz led to win the game. And then they finally put their first full game together the next week against Washington, right? They did it against the Rams and the Texans and the Redskins the following weeks. In between is that tough Dallas loss. But that first game against Washington on Monday Night Football was where the Eagles really finally started to put it all together as a unit. I thought Doug Peterson's play calling was sharp in that game. I thought that was really the first game where the offensive line got going in the pass protection area and in run blocking. That was the first game to me where they finally got off to a fast start and they were able to get some momentum on the final four games of the season. And Carson Wentz was under center for that, so I feel like he deserves a little bit more credit. And man, I wish he was playing. I want nothing more than to see Carson Wentz win playoff games with the Eagles. I love that Nick Foles is taking us on another magical run because I'm a sucker for nostalgia with the Philadelphia Eagles, and it's just like last year. And I'm going to miss Nick Foles when he's not on the team next year, barring a potential Super Bowl win, and then we can get into the everything that would be talked about after that. I invite that chaos because the Eagles then win another championship back-to-back, which I would never in a million years have thought I'd witness in my life. But Carson Wentz is going to be under center next year, and I think he's going to win playoff games with this team. This team is too talented. Carson Wentz is too talented to not make deep runs in the playoffs for the next 10 to 12 years. And I want to see it happen because, really, getting Carson Wentz started the new era of competing for championships, for not settling for wild card berths and playoff berths, right? Just getting in the first or maybe the second round if we're lucky. Just patching up the secondary with bridge players or the offensive line. Not fully committing to going all in on winning championships. That all started, the change from that all started when the Eagles traded up twice to get Carson Wentz. So Wentz really represents that, and he started that all off with last year's 11-2 start before he tore his ACL, getting the Eagles home field advantage, winning that Super Bowl, and in a down year where he's injured the entire season, basically, he still puts up a stat line. Like, we're all talking about how Carson Wentz had a down year, or a lot of the full supporters are. His down year is a 70% completion percentage season, a 102 passer rating season, and a touchdown to interception ratio of 21-7. That's a down year for Carson Wentz. He won comeback player of the year. I'm excited for the future with Wentz. And look, again, I making the playoffs was something I wanted so desperately. You all know, listen, my regular listeners out there, you heard the optimism basically up until the Cowboys game, the second Cowboys game, and then it rekindled after the Rams game the following week, because I believed in this team, and with Nick Foles under center, I thought they finally made it simpler. I thought the offensive line and everyone else elevated their play because they knew they had to elevate their play with Nick Foles over Carson Wentz. And it's been awesome, but it's killing me that Carson Wentz isn't the guy playing in the playoffs for 2 years straight, because you know it's got to hurt him inside. But he wins comeback player of the year. Hats off to Carson Wentz and the job he did this year, despite everything he went through. All right, next up, final award for this segment, the Acquisition of the Year award goes to Michael Bennett. Michael Bennett traded from the Seattle Seahawks to the Philadelphia Eagles for a fifth-round pick and Marcus Johnson. That's what it took. I don't know who the Seahawks' fifth-round pick was this year. I imagine it wasn't as good as a defensive end that had 9 sacks, was top 5 in the league with QB hurries and QB hits. He was with Fletcher Cox, he was probably the most efficient pass rusher, because I thought Fletcher Cox overall was the best defensive lineman this year. I feel like Michael Bennett was the best pass rusher this season with 9 sacks, and he should have had more if it wasn't for some penalties. There were times where the quarterback found a way to slip through his grasp. Michael Bennett should have been in the double-digit sack number. He was, I cannot believe Howie Roseman got this guy for basically nothing. No disrespect to Marcus Johnson, but he was the seventh receiver on the roster last year, and then a fifth-round pick. So hats off to Howie Roseman, but hats off to Michael Bennett, an older defensive end still getting the job done. He was a huge, consistent piece on this defense, again, much like Fletcher Cox and Malcolm Jenkins, that when everything was going wrong on that side of the ball, including some bad coaching from Jim Schwartz early on in the season and the middle of the season, with all the injuries, Michael Bennett was disruptive as all hell this 2018 season. Coming up next on the Locked On Eagles podcast, a few more awards to get to. We have the most improved player, the biggest question mark of the season, and the We Are Gonna Miss You award. That's next, right here on the Locked On Eagles podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the end of the regular season award show here on Locked On Eagles. My name is Louis DiBiase, your humble host. Couple more awards for you. A quick recap of what we've had so far. MVP goes to Malcolm Jenkins. Offensive Player of the Year, Zach Ertz. Defensive Player of the Year, Fletcher Cox. Our Rookie of the Year went to cornerback Avante Maddox. Our Comeback Player of the Year went to the quarterback of the future, Carson Wentz. And then the Acquisition of the Year went to Howie Roseman grabbing Michael Bennett with 9 sacks this year on the season at defensive end. So our last couple awards, we have Most Improved Player, we have the biggest question mark of the season and going forward, and then the We're Gonna Miss You award. We're starting with the Most Improved Player, and that goes to cornerback Rasul Douglas. Rasul Douglas, a guy that could not get into the lineup unless it took, again, it took four injuries to cornerbacks for Rasul Douglas to finally scratch the starting lineup at cornerback. He led the Eagles after that. Look, he struggled. Those couple games, I kept saying give him time to get acclimated because I saw in big moments what he did this year. I said give him some time. I know he struggled against Michael Thomas and against Amari Cooper, but those are two of the most manipulative receivers in the league when it comes to route running, when it comes to just putting a corner like Rasul Douglas, who is playing mostly press man coverage, getting him to flip his hips, and those two just know how to turn cornerbacks inside out. After that, I thought Rasul Douglas got so much better, especially as a tackler. He led the Eagles in tackles four of the last 5 weeks. He led the team in interceptions again this year with three. Not that he did it last year, but again, he showed that he is an absolute ball hawk, a playmaker on the ball, which the Eagles did not have this year. I feel like he started the turnovers. I know Malcolm Jenkins was the first one to get one. Up until it was, what, Avante Maddox had one against the Titans early on in the season, and then after that, I feel like the Eagles maybe had one more up until that Giants game where Malcolm Jenkins had one. But Rasul Douglas is the playmaker in the secondary. There are not a lot of guys that are great on the ball. Sidney Jones didn't do a whole lot of that this year. Jalen Mills, that's not his strength. Ronald Darby he's fast, and when he gets interceptions, he's dangerous to take one all the way. But I didn't really see the ball-hawking ability of Ronald Darby that I thought we might see these 2 years with the Birds. It's Rasul Douglas. He is the guy that provides that spark for this secondary, and that's what part of the reason they drafted him when he came in to the Eagles in the third round in 2017. That final year with West Virginia, he had 8 interceptions. So he led the team this year with 3, and they were super impactful picks. You look at just the big moments Rasul Douglas showed up in this year. The fourth quarter of the first game against Atlanta, he comes in on the first snap of the game for him, having to cover Julio Jones in a tight game with just a couple minutes left. The Falcons are in the red zone, and he picks off Matt Ryan. Then you look at the fourth quarter against Jacksonville. He gets thrust into the lineup there again because Jalen Mills got hurt. He makes big plays on the ball, some big tackles. He had that great pass deflection to hold the Jaguars from getting the 2-point conversion. Then you see against Dallas, he was the main reason in that first half that the Eagles were able to stay in that game with some big-time hits and that amazing interception. And then the final 3 games, he was just the presence on the outside that when a running back got loose, when a receiver had a screen on his side and there were multiple blockers down the field and you're like, how are they going to get through this to bring this guy down? Rasul Douglas was the one blowing through those blocks, was the guy on the outside that got the player down finishing tackles, which is so important in Jim Schwartz's defense that has corners and a lot of guys back crashing in on the football. Rasul Douglas, he was the 42nd ranked corner overall this year by Pro Football Focus. I mean, he took a big step up in his second year. I don't know where he's going to line up next year. It seems like they only like him on the outside, but I don't know how you put Rasul Douglas back on the bench next year. Big for the brand for me, a big-time Rasul Douglas supporter for you out there that have been listening to me all year. I'm sure you know that Rasul Douglas wins Most Improved Player of the Year. The biggest question mark of the year goes to another corner, and that's Sidney Jones. So I'm not sure how I feel about Sidney Jones and his performance this year. It was kind of a mixed bag. We had a really strong start to the season. Those first 3 games, he was the Eagles' best corner against the Falcons, against the Buccaneers, and against the Colts. You really didn't hear his name a whole lot, which is good for a corner. He was on lockdown in the slot and made you forget about Patrick Robinson, who had a huge year inside for the Eagles in 2017. He was probably the best slot corner in football. And Sidney Jones was playing just as good those first couple games, making some amazing tackles. And then just the injuries started happening again. The soft tissue issues on his legs. And he was only played 9 games. He played those first 6 games, and then he only played 3. And he got burned against the Saints. He got burned against the Cowboys when he wasn't fully healthy. It was costing the Eagles. But you did see the flashes this year, for sure. I still think he has the most potential in this Eagles secondary. I think they're going to give him every opportunity to win an outside job next year, or maybe they put him back in the slot and Maddox is the starter outside. Again, we're going to go into the secondary and all the scenarios with that down the road in the offseason. I think Sidney Jones is still going to be a starter on defense next year because his potential is still through the roof. But it's tough. If he gets hurt again next year and still is dealing with these leg issues that's keeping him out of the lineup and is only allowing him to play maybe half the season, then we're going to be looking at Sidney Jones getting replaced. And when they have these young up-and-coming corners that are playing and playing well, and Rasul Douglas and Avante Maddox and Cravion LeBlanc and Jalen Mills returning, Sidney Jones is not a lock to continue to be that promising corner that's going to be the future CB1. He's got to prove it. And more so, it's not his play on the field, because I think we all know basically what we saw at Washington and what we saw this year when he played and was healthy. We saw a corner that has all the abilities in the world, but it's the health. If he can't stay healthy again next year, the Eagles are not going to rely on him anymore. That'd be three straight years where it's, yeah, we took a chance on this guy. We knew he was going to have leg injuries that could be consistently a problem for this defense, but the talent was something too hard to pass up, and it's going to be a big third year for Sidney Jones, but he gets biggest question mark of the season heading into 2019. Our final award of the day, the We Are Going to Miss You Award, and it goes to Nick Foles. Also, shout out to Brandon Graham and Jason Peters. Those two might not be here next year, maybe even Darren Sproles as well, but Nick Foles just taking us on another magical ride. This team had a 2% chance of making the playoffs from the New York Times playoff simulator after they lost that second game in Dallas. A 2% chance, and now they are the sixth seed in the wild card playing the Chicago Bears. Foles represents what this team is all about. Overcoming crazy obstacles, the injuries this team has suffered this year, the refereeing at times that cost them the Dallas game, the coaching struggles, having to win three straight games against really good teams, not Washington as much, the final game, but two perennial Super Bowl contenders and the LA Rams and the Houston Texans, where Nick Foles goes crazy against the Texans for over 470 yards, four touchdowns, a comeback drive with Jake Elliott kicking the game-winning field goal as time expired. Nick Foles just creating magic again, and it's awesome that he did that because his first two games this year were not good against the Falcons, against the Buccaneers, and it was kind of an unfulfilling ending to Nick Foles' run in Philadelphia. After winning a Super Bowl last year, after looking unstoppable, he had those two games that were very underwhelming. The Eagles won the first one against the Falcons, 18-12, but Foles really wasn't a big part of it outside of catching that Philly pass in the opener. But the fact that he was able to come in, be a calming presence for this team that made things simple, he allowed the offensive, I'm not going to say he was the reason the offensive line, the play calling got better, but he was healthy, unlike Carson Wentz. He took chances. He spread the football around to Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar, who have been huge these past three games with Foles. The run game got better, and Nick Foles was a key reason this Eagles team turned it around. He just steps up in big moments. Again, he is the ultimate lightning rod of a player in the NFL. He is the best closer in NFL history. And just big moment after big moment, this guy steps up. It's absolutely crazy. It's the strangest, but one of the coolest sports stories ever is Nick Foles, where this guy just a couple years ago is about to retire, right after the disaster, being named the Rams starter, basically the face, the guy that was going to fix everything. He gets benched for Case Keenum, and then the next year he's thinking he's just not going to play football anymore. He comes back as the Chiefs backup, then comes to the Eagles as a backup, goes on this improbable run, winning the Super Bowl, beating the best dynasty in the NFL, only to go back to being a backup for Carson Wentz, then coming back to save the Eagles season once again. It's why stories like this is why we fall in love with sports. It's because of stories like Nick Foles. And it's going to really suck if he's not on the team next year. He's not going to be, unless really they win the Super Bowl or go to the Super Bowl. I don't know any other scenario. That's the only way the Eagles even possibly think about trading Carson Wentz. Because it's not a guarantee. Even if Foles won it all again, I still don't think they would keep Foles, truthfully. I think Wentz is the guy no matter what. It's definitely going to make it harder on them if he won another championship back-to-back. And that's why, look, he's going to be a damn good starter for another team. I think he is one of the better starting quarterbacks in the NFL now. I do not think that he's going to go back and suddenly be what he was with the Rams. I don't think he's what Carson Wentz is at full health, but he will be a above-average starting quarterback in football next year, and it's going to suck that it's not with Philadelphia anymore, but you got to love the memories he's created, and he did it again at least one more time for this Eagles team, that even if they lose against Chicago on Sunday, Nick Foles made the season memorable. He was a big part of it. All right, everybody, that's going to do it for the regular season awards episode of this Locked On Eagles podcast. Thank you for joining us. Make sure to check out all our content on LockedOnEagles.com and our podcast feed, posting daily. We'll get into Bears Week tomorrow. Gino Camilleri will be back on the microphone with me, Louis DiBiase, signing off. Follow us on Twitter at LockedOnBirds, at DiBiase LOE, and at Gino_LOE. Thanks for downloading. Thanks for listening. And let's go, Birds.